This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. Over the last few months, there have been some periodic outbreaks of violence in Milwaukee, weekends or other several-day stretches with sudden increases in shootings or other criminal unrest. While those outbreaks are still often difficult to predict, the ability to forecast trends in crime has evolved a great deal in recent years, thanks to the work of crime data analysts. That field is the fastest-growing wing of the crime-fighting equation, and its ranks include a growing number of graduates of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Department of Criminal Justice. Alexandra Snowden is an assistant professor of criminal justice. Ruben Burgos is a longtime veteran of the Milwaukee Police Department, who's now a senior lecturer at UWM. They join me now in the studio. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you, Mitch. Glad to be here.
What does a crime analyst do?
What do they do? They provide actionable intelligence for the police department. At the local, the lower level, the tactical level for the police officers, they give us information on where the hot spots are, trends and analysis of what's going on that the officers and supervisors can use as actionable intelligence.
Now, you say actual intelligence, but intelligence has always been a part of police work, but this has changed to some degree. You're distinguishing things like hunches from hard data?
Yes. We've been doing pin maps and things like that for 20 years on the police department, as long as I can remember. But now it's factual. This is the data, today's data, last week's data, last 7 days, 6 weeks' data, exactly where it's happening, what time it's happening, the suspects, the cars, information that the police officers need right now to find the bad guy.
Well, and I think just about anybody who's watched a police show on TV is familiar with the pin map. You know, contrast, you know, this idea of like putting pins or drawing circles over places on the map with the kind of data that police now get from analysts.
So, for example, now some of the data that we look into is about location where some of the crimes have occurred. And so we can use this information about pinpointing where exactly some of the hotspots are in the areas and then follow up, as Ruben was saying, with further intelligence about why are those hotspots there and not elsewhere.
But presumably the data alone isn't enough necessarily to predict where the next crime will be. There have to be people on the force who know how to interpret this data, right?
Yes, that's what we're the analysts for. We ask them, you know, tell us where are the hotspots, and they access all the databases we have. We have numerous databases on the Milwaukee Police Department, record management systems, the CAD systems. They access all these programs, do their magic, and then they come out with some intelligence or some analysis. And give us what time and place so that we can put the police officers in the right spot.
Well, and so what are the kind of skills that someone who goes into this field has to acquire to be effective in it?
Well, they have to be very logical, intuitive, looking at what's going on there, have some access to the mapping softwares that are out there, the technology, and be able to politically talk to supervisors. Some of the problems is police don't like to be told by civilians what to do. And they're civilians. They're not police officers, and they have to schmooze the police officers. And that's part of the job. It works with the right personality.
Well, and that's an interesting point because that's not always the kind of stuff that someone gets in an academic environment. But is it something that you stress to students who are coming up through the field that they're going to be civilians working in a much different environment than if they went to some other kind of IT job, for example?
We do.
Yeah, how do you teach schmoozing?
Well, when we had the interns at the Intelligence Fusion Center, we would talk to them, say, you know, they ask us, what do they really want? They get this request for data information, and what do they want? And we'd have to talk, well, we think this is what they want. Make sure you ask the right questions, and then find out what they're looking for so you can help them get the right answer.
We also teach students how to be careful thinkers about we can show you where the crimes are, but you have to think further than just this map. You have to think, why are these patterns the way they are? And we also make sure that they understand that they need to take a project from the beginning to the end. And learning those skills in a classroom environment and then also having the exposure in a real-world environment using real-world data helps our students be very successful.
These are statistics, but the statistics are impacted by people, and people aren't always predictable, right?
One could argue that, but then on the other hand, our statistics would allow us to make some probabilistic predictions about when and where crimes would occur, and then we rely on hunches and further intelligence, as Ruben was saying earlier, about acting up on those probabilistic sort of occurrences.
Well, and if I read between the lines, Ruben, you were on the force for more than three decades. I would imagine there are a lot of people in the field of police work who, to put it nicely, might be suspicious of this kind of data.
Yes, especially, you know, when Chief Flynn came to the police department seven some years ago, he brought in the data-driven policing and a lot of technology. Well, police are resistant, and it took a little bit of time for our crime analysts to show them this is why it works. And eventually they did come, most of them came around and say, hey, this is some good intelligence, gives us a good leads. We still have to be out there doing the legwork, but it took some time to get the older officers to acknowledge that this is some good information for them.
Can you give us some real world examples of how this data work actually leads to changes in or advances in police work?
Real world.
Well, I mean, like, give us an example of, you know, what hotspots really are and how they lead to, you know, differences in policing.
Well, we know that by looking at the statistics that these kind of crimes occur in certain times, locations. It affects staffing. It affects other units working together, the intelligence division, the vice squad, the gang squad. They all work together, and we see that the problem is. What is the actual underlying issues, drugs or gangs or whatever it is? We network. And that's where the intelligence has helped us. The problem over here is a burglary issue, but that's really a drug issue. So we work together. We reach out to other units, and we then become better teamwork.
What are the challenges that people face time and again that you see, you would have seen in the intelligence fusion unit, for example?
Patience. We know that the hotspot, say 27th and Main Street, and we know it's there, it's going to happen, but nothing happens. We give them predictions. We give, put coppers out on the street and nothing happens. And they say, that's all a bunch of BS. It doesn't work. And they go off and do other things. You got to have patience because the numbers don't lie. Statistics doesn't lie. It's going to happen. It's just we have to be patient in that sometimes we know the crime's going to be. We assign people there. It gets bored. They want to do the real policing and run around chasing people, and they leave. They don't put the effort in.
Who are the kind of people that go into this field? Is it people that are interested in police work, people that are interested in statistics, some combination of both of them? Who's the right person for the job?
Some of the successful students that I've had in the past were simply very curious individuals that wanted to answer questions about the areas or the types of people that become apprehended for criminal activity. And so it's students who are curious about numbers, about working with numbers, but also are curious about and interested in making a difference in improving communities.
I've noticed also some of the my students who don't want to be actual police officers, but they do want to help. They want to influence in their community. What can they do and not be a police officer? And this is a very good way to help, and it's a nice career.
This is like an ability to help solve crimes without necessarily the danger of being shot at.
Correct, and the hours and the cold and all the elements out there being out in the elements.
How much difference does it make in terms of timing of response? You know, we keep hearing about, this was a violent weekend or it's been a violent couple of weeks in Milwaukee. How is it different today when something like that happens versus, say, 10 or 15 years ago from the standpoint of, response times, quickness to be able to analyze these patterns?
Well, we know that the areas where the problem is going to be, we put the police officers in the area. If when it happens, the shots fired, they go off, we have police officers in those neighborhoods. They just have to be redirected to those locations. We know that for the most part, people don't call the police when there are shots fired through some of the technology we have. But we know that if they see the police, they'll notify those police officers. So it really helps having the police officers in the neighborhoods where they're needed, and then the people then they feel they can call and contact those individuals.
The violence and violent crimes have been declining across the United States, and that's one thing that we keep forgetting about. But because we want response that's quick, and we want to do things that can prevent further violence, we want response very quickly, even though violence as a whole across the state, across the nation, has been on decline.
There has always been statistical analysis, and people have always been smart. So what has happened in recent years to make this field more effective? Is it just computer technology?
I think it is one reason is computer technology, but the second and I think more important reason is availability of data. We live in an information age where we have so much data and we need to figure out how to sort through all of this mass amount of big data to make important policy implications, prevent crimes from occurring and things like that. But it could be also developments in computer technology.
Well, you know, like you said, the access to technology, you know, the criminal is not going to stay in Milwaukee. They're going to go to West Dallas, to Whitefish Bay. They're going to go all over the country, over the state and county. And we now can act, the analysts can access this information through the databases. They get access to the state databases, the drug databases. And if you know how to use them and pull from them, and that's what our analysts do, they can get a lot of information that we never got before because we didn't have access to the county sheriff's database. We didn't have access to the state Department of Criminal Investigation database. And that's where the technology has really helped us to reach out to other avenues of intelligence that we weren't accessing unless it was a personal phone call or email or phone number or something like that would call.
It certainly, I mean, the other comparison I would imagine is to like electronic medical records, the ability that a doctor has to see everything that a patient has gone through. This is now something that police investigators have access to as well.
Exactly. And then we ask our analysts to make sure they understand what databases are available to them. There's lists and lists of databases that we have access to, not just public databases, also the restricted databases for law enforcement and other things that we have. And we have analysts who work with the federal government who can give us classified information also.
How is this field growing at UWM? What sorts of opportunities are there for students to learn this stuff?
There are vast, especially within our school. At the undergraduate level, we have several important developments where students can earn a certificate, a specialization, or a minor. And also, the latest exciting development is within our master's degree. We have plans to put forward a master's degree with concentration in crime analytics as early as this upcoming spring. Those are the plans.
The job field is wide open. The police department in Milwaukee is just hired three analysts this year. All over the country, every department realizes the value of crime analysis, and they're going to start hiring more as these graduates come through with these degrees, certificates, and minors. It's a great field for someone who doesn't actually want to be a police officer but wants to really make a difference in the community.
Well, Ruben Burgos and Alexandra Snowden, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you
very much, Rich.
Alex Snowden is an assistant professor of criminal justice at UWM's Helen Bader School of Social Welfare. Ruben Burgos was an investigator with the Milwaukee Police Department for more than 30 years. He's now a senior lecturer in the criminal justice department at UWM. Jason Padgett's life changed after a mugging and assault, but probably not the way you would imagine. His unique story when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.